This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Tampa Bay visiting Green Bay on Sunday in the NFC Championship game. The weather forecast, always a concern in the month of January. Cloudy, 31, snow ending by noon in Green Bay. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. The temperature will be dropping once the sun goes down. The Packers are the 3.5-point favorites, total 51. In the AFC Championship game, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. 610 Sports Radio Kansas City's Bob Fesco on what he likes about the Bills team and their chances to beat the Chiefs.
Well, I think right now their defense is really opportunistic up in Buffalo. This was a defense that hadn't scored a touchdown, you know, since December of 2017. And we looked and saw what they've done over the last six games or whatever it is. They've had four defensive touchdowns. So the real, you know, I guess crux with Buffalo right now is not making mistakes on offense, because their defense has done a really nice job of capitalizing and turning those mistakes into points. And so the Chiefs have to go out there. And, you know, I always say when you play against the Chiefs, you have to play a mistake-free game. But I think playing against Buffalo, you have to kind of play a mistake-free game, because if you don't, they're going to capitalize. They've shown it. They've been very opportunistic over the last month.
610 Sports Radio Kansas City morning show host Bob Fesco on My Guys of the Desert with Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray, Vinny Maiulo, and Danielle Elvari on VSIN weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern. The Chiefs are the 3-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. On Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard, Mitch and Pauly discuss the line and will there be money showing for the Buffalo Bills.
And more discussion about where this number will go. And I know Johnny Avello and others have said they expect Chiefs money once we find out, and it looks like it's going to be Mahomes. I'm not so sure about that, though, because as Mike Palm said yesterday, we talked about on Monday's show, how about all the Browns money? If they're going to bet the Browns like that, double-fisted, why won't they bet the Bills? Because everyone knows this, that the Bills are a machine right now, and they're 9-1 ATS in their last 10. Kansas City's 0-8-1 ATS slide. Again, they haven't covered since the Jets game November 1st. Bills are getting it done every week, and not to mention what they're doing straight up, with the exception of the Hail Murray. I mean, they're hot. And every time you go to the window and say, give me Buffalo, you're cashing tickets. Every time you go to the window, you're betting the Chiefs, you're losing.
Yeah.
I mean, people remember that. And then you just saw, you know, again, it's 19-3 at halftime. And then he gets hurt and you know what happens. But they bet that down to 7, 7.5. If they're going to bet the Browns, they're going to bet the hottest team in the league.
That's what I thought, too. I mean, I thought I'll go back to Sunday when Mahomes did not get hurt yet. He's still in the game. And books had Chiefs up -4. I thought, oh, my God, money's going to come in on the Bills for sure. And I talked to guys at the books, and Jeff Sherman just we took three bets on the Chiefs -4. That was it.
VSIN's Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard, heard weekday morning 7 to 10 Eastern. The line, 3 points in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills, 15-3, 12-6 against the spread, 11-6-1 to the total heading in to the AFC Championship game, which is Sunday. It's another huge weekend of the NFL, but your betting card is full every day of the week with the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN all-access subscriber today. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at VSIN.com/subscribe. subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
All right, welcome in. We got 2 hours on tap and a fun 2 hours on that. It is The Edge here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Last episode of The Edge as well, as we, of course, will be making way for a second hour of the Lombardi Line next week. And, of course, The Nuts, which will be taking place in the second hour. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I did learn that it is Sarah McLachlan. She will be playing at some point today. Because, of course, we will be crying and reminiscing throughout the next 2 hours. We do have a great show on tap, though, of course. Mitch Moss in the next hour is going to be with us, talk the National Football League, get his thoughts on the divisional round, and, of course, the NBA. Chris Andrews with his biweekly spot, Drew Martin. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Brad Evans, who's with us at this time, has been time regularly, I think, now for months at a time. Let's bring him in with this, because we do have some breaking news in the National Football League. Brad, one, Antonio Brown is not going to play today. So just initial ramifications here of Antonio Brown not being on the field, now the targets being spread out to different guys. How does that affect the handicapping process when you're looking at this from like a reception standpoint for some of these guys, Tom Brady completions? Does that change anything for you when it comes to this matchup?
Yeah, a little bit. It does. Look, there is a couple of players, and I immediately come to mind that I think I'm going to see an uptick in overall target share. One, Tyler Johnson, who is used to playing in frigid conditions because he was trotting out on the field and played basically on Hoth for you Empire Strikes Back fans out there, fighting off Wampas during his days with the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So he knows all about playing on a frozen tundra, and he's a guy that had an incredible catch last week, a hyperbolic catch, according to some of the announcers in that game. But he could see a nice little increase in overall snap share with Antonio Brown out. Scotty Miller is another one as well. Now, I haven't seen any kind of receiving yards props on any one of these individuals. I mean, Scotty Miller historically has been like 7.5 yards, 8.5 yards. You can get that on one catch. Tyler Johnson, right around that same range. So once those begin to populate at the various sports books, I think they're worth investigating. I did see that Tyler Johnson, in terms of an anytime touchdown right now, at 8-1 odds, and a guy that does stick out like a sore thumb inside the red zone. And again, given the conditions and his familiarity with those kind of conditions, he's a player of major interest for me. And one other note here, too, I am a little bit concerned about Mike Evans. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, God, we got to take all the Mike Evans overs out there imaginable. I would say full stop on that, because I believe he is going to be blanketed and shadowed exclusively by Jair Alexander, who's given up just a 0.59 yards per snap rate and 50.7 catch percentage to his assignments on the season. So it could be more Godwin, along with Miller, along with Johnson, and maybe finally Gronk will be freed from run and pass blocking in this game.
Well, and Brad, you and I have talked about this before. Look, with the Green Bay, I think they have a massive flaw. It's their front seven. Their secondary is actually kind of good, right?
Yeah.
So it's when
yeah.
it comes to like some receiving props, receptions, things like that, I looked at it and tended to think that maybe some unders are staying away. But let's stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's stay with that theme, with that poor front seven that they're going to be facing, and Leonard Fournette getting an ungodly amount of touches, especially on first downs for some reason. Is there a way to look at Leonard Fournette, whether it be rushing yards of 42.5 or anytime touchdown, something like that?
Yeah, anytime TD at plus 190, I locked it loaded on that sucker immediately when it came out. I mean, he's seen 7 red zone attempts here these last couple of weeks. That includes receptions, and he's cashing on a pair of those. Like Ronald Jones, not 100%, still dealing with that Nettleson quad injury, though he is further along at this point this week than at the same point on the calendar last week. So there is still going to be some sort of a timeshare here, but I would suspect it'd be a 60-40 snap share advantage for Fournette. I do like his receptions and receiving yards props tremendously, because an area of vulnerability along that front seven, it kind of feeds into this, is short field coverage of the Green Bay Packers. You know, if you look over the entirety of the season, including the playoffs, they've given up over 5 receptions per game, over 45 receiving yards per game just for the running back position alone. And Fournette is essentially the new James White for Tom Brady, a player over the last couple of weeks who's seen 10 targets, 9 combined catches, 83 total yards through the air, and a touchdown. So he sailed past his number of back-to-back games, and at 22.5 receiving yards, I think that's low-hanging fruit. It's an easy barrier for him to cross. And at plus odds, at 3.5 receptions, I locked it at a plus 126 at DraftKings. I think that's a handsome value as well to go along with the touchdown. So, yeah. I got the Leonard Fournette trifecta. What could possibly go wrong?
Of course, right. But by the way, the white Fournette comp, that is not one I have heard before, but I guess he is Tom Brady's new white. Hey, really quickly, too, what you were talking about all of that. When it comes to Leonard Fournette, is 69.5 for a rushing receiving combo, is that something people should look at as well?
Yeah, I think it's in play. Again, the only concern I have is Ronald Jones. Yeah. And it turns in, you know, I was talking to Greg Allman from The Athletic, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday on my radio show. And, you know, I asked him point blank about, you know, the potential workload for Fournette. And he goes, look, this is going to be a hot hand situation. What we do know and what, you know, look, Fournette is locked into is all the pass down work because he is that quote unquote nickelback within this scheme. So I would be a little bit hesitant because of the rush yards, knowing that, you know, Jones could come out and run mad, run angry. And he is a guy that is a yak machine when operating at his best, though that quad injury again has slowed him down and has cropped up and limited him into the second half of games, and the cold weather certainly is not going to help keeping that sucker loose.
All right, let's go to the Green Bay Packers side of things. And last week, of course, the Packers get Jalen Ramsey and the Los Angeles Rams. Doesn't really slow down Devontae Adams too much. 9 receptions, 66 yards, still finds the end zone as well. There is no Ramsey, you know, stalking the sidelines and out there in the secondary here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this has been a good defense. So what are we doing with the Devontae Adams receiving yards against Tampa Bay?
Over, baby. That's right. What we're doing with it. I'm all over that at 87.5. Look, I think he's going to hit the century mark here. You know, him and Stephon Diggs, really 1A, 1B conversation on who is the best route tactician in the NFL. His technique is remarkable. Those quick slants are absolutely lethal. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to have any answer here. You know, Carlton Davis and company did a brilliant job last week. Can't guard Mike. Well, sorry. Yeah, you're easily guardable. You know, limiting Michael Thomas to a Krispy Kreme performance, donuts across the board to the box score. That is not going to be replicated, not against Devontae Adams, who's been playing at elite level. You mentioned the numbers, and they were very good against Ramsey last week, the 9 for 66 and a score. You know, he's practically a lock. You know, I hate the L word because there's no guarantee, but he's practically, you know, near it to score a touchdown. But I think it's going to be at least 90 plus, probably 7 receptions or more as well for Adams, who has hit the over on the 87.5 proposed total 11 times this season. And I think it's going to be an even dozen when it's all said and done, when the dust settles or the snow settles here this weekend.
So what does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? 279.5 is the passing yardage here for Tampa Bay. Is this correlated then?
Yeah, it is. It is hand in hand. It is in lockstep. I'm taking the over. I think that's a tremendous value. If you kind of shop around, and you could do so for free at ftmbets.com/prop-shop. We have the player prop search tool. The 279.5 number, which I believe is at DraftKings, is the lowest I've seen in the industry. I've seen as high as 286.5. I think there's a lot of value there. And here's the biggest key. It's because of Vita Vea. Vita Vea is going to be back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who is an interior anchor for this defense. When Vita Vea was on the field, they were impenetrable. You could not run on them earlier this season. So I think what the game plan here for Matt LaFleur is going to be is having Aaron Rodgers in shotgun, just dissecting this secondary, which he will do early and often, whether it's with Adams, whether it's an MBS. Alan Lazard had a long touchdown last week. Robert Tonyan as well, the talented tight end who's been a touchdown scoring machine this season. I think Rodgers is going to hit the 300-yard mark when it's all said and done. And really, it correlates, too, with the total, as we're seeing, you know, both these games and the low to mid 50s across the board there.
Hey, I'm sorry. Did you mention Tonyan at all? I mean, because I was looking, you know, what surprised me with some of the defensive numbers for the Bucs, like Football Outsiders, they're the worst team among the Final Four against tight ends. They were 25th in DVOA against tight ends this year. That was a shocking number to me.
Yeah, and, you know, I haven't seen any yardage props that have really popped up for Tonyan yet. You know, there's a couple that are out there. Generally speaking, they're in the low to mid 30s. I think there's some good value there. Probably an anytime touchdown for him, which you can get anywhere between, you know, plus 180 up to plus 200. That, to me, that's where the value lies with Tonyan, because there's two guys primarily that Aaron Rodgers looks at when he's inside the red zone. You know, option A always is Mr. Adams, and option B normally is Robert Tonyan. So, again, I think that's a good value line on the close.
Yep. All right, let's go over to the AFC Championship game then, as we will have what seems to be potentially a high-flying affair between these two. So let's talk receivers really quickly. You have two dynamic ones on both sides. Let's start with the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs. The guy has been absolutely insane in terms of his production and his output. What are we doing with him and when against the secondary as well that doesn't have a dominant stop corner?
Yeah, look, I am a rosy optimist here. There's no doubt about it, but I love the over on Stephon Diggs as well. I mean, he's been a human ATM. He's been cashing this consistently down the stretch. The only thing that slowed him down was the fact that he had to sit for a half in week 17. Otherwise, he would be over this in six consecutive games. And you look at this secondary, Bashaud Breeland is no sure thing because of concussion protocol. Rashad Fenton's got a pair of bad ankles. He may not be able to go. If he gets some Charvarius Ward, who's giving up a 102.1 passer rating, Diggs is hitting the century mark yet again. Him and Josh Allen have been unstoppable in this game. And then, you know, just you talk about another wide receiver on the other side. I don't know how the hell Buffalo's going to stop Tyreek Hill, especially when he lines up in the slot, which he does 57.7% of the time. Teron Johnson has given up over a 73 catch rate and over 1.40 yards per snap to his assignments in the slot. Tyreek Hill is going to go beast mode in this game. And yes, folks, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I've been talking to a lot of beat writers. They've all unanimously said it's like a 99.9% certainty that he really didn't suffer a concussion, some like vasovagal issue. I'm not a doctor. I just know it deals with something with the sinuses. And he was woozy, and he actually wasn't concussed. So I think he will be out there on the field. Probably not going to be running around a whole lot. Right. Going to be more pocket tied, but that's good news for Tyreek Hill.
I'm wondering for you, for a guy like you who handicaps a lot of these props, you know, you notice when you shop for these numbers, Patrick Mahomes' name is absent from pretty much everything. How does that affect guys like a Tyreek Hill, like a Travis Kelce? Are those watered down? Are they a little bit lower than they should be? Higher? Like, what's it look like?
It looks normal.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what it looks like to me. So I think that's a strong indication. The odds makers and all the various legal sports books across the country are, you know, convinced that Mahomes is going to play. I mean, Travis Kelce's at 94.5 yards. That's obscene. Yeah. That's crazy. You don't see it that high for a tight end. But again, he's been over this number in seven of his last nine. Buffalo, even though they get Matt Milano back in defense, during the regular season, the Bills allowed the second most yards to the tight end position. So, you know, I think Travis Kelce is going to be front and center. And by the way, folks, I know Tyreek Hill had 20 yards at first meeting back in week six, but don't forget that was an odd game. It was played like a Monday afternoon. It was windy. It was raining. It was nasty and gnarly in Western New York. Throw that game out the damn window. Conditions for this time of year in Kansas City are going to be optimal on Sunday. So this should be a fiesta of points across the board for all parties involved.
All right, quick analysis on a couple of other things before we get you out of here. First off, Buffalo Bills and their running attack, or lack thereof. Last week, right, Josh Allen tied for the team lead in terms of attempts. He had seven. Devin Singletary had seven as well for only 25 carries. So what do you do with, like, running back? This is what I love about Brian Daboll, Brad, is the fact that he's like, I play 2020 football. I am throwing on first down. I'm throwing on second down. I don't give a bleep about establishing the run. Play action in and of itself is just the action of doing it. It doesn't have to have an established run game. So what does that mean for props, though, for a guy like a Devin Singletary, who right now I got in front of me rushing yards 39.5.
Not touching it. If anything, on the total yards, it'd be under at 63.5. You know, it seems like a really low total for a starting running back with very little competition with Zach Moss out. But, you know, I think if anything, Josh Allen could lead this team in rushing, right? You know, his props are anywhere between 31.5 all the way up to 34.5 on the ground. I think he's got a really good shot of eclipsing that number. He did do that in that first matchup. Again, there were meteorological impacts. Atmospheric conditions were unideal, but he did have 42 on the ground in that game. And Kansas City has been susceptible to the run this season. So Allen's a guy on an anytime rush touchdown at like plus 135, plus 140. I think that's worth firing off on. And I'll give you another one. You know, talking about the running game on the other side, Darrell Williams is fascinating to me. And here's where, you know, our prop shop really comes into play when you're shopping around for the line values. FanDuel right now has an anytime Darrell Williams touchdown at plus 120. PointsBet has it at plus 250. That is an incredible separation in the market. And I think Darrell Williams, with Le'Veon Bell dealing with knee swelling, did not practice yesterday, may not be able to go in this game. CEH, no sure thing that he's going to play in this game. Darrell Williams could get another, you know, 15 to 17 touches like he had last week. And I think he could cash in for six in this game, knowing that the Bills have given up 4.54 yards per carry, 98.3 rush yards per game at the running back position alone. So that is a sneaky good anytime touchdown prop at plus 250 for Darrell Williams.
At Noisy Huevos up on Twitter. His name's Brad Evans, FTN Network as well. Hey, before we get you out of here, we might as well ask you. We got a couple minutes. What's the pick? What's the Super Bowl in your mind, huh?
I got the Bills winning straight up, man. Look, I think the Kansas City Chiefs have just been getting by the hairs in their little chinny chin chins. You know, they haven't covered a damn game since what, the Jets, I think, November 1st. So they've been playing a lot of these tightly, hotly contested games. And, you know, they've been playing with fire, haven't gotten burned. Oh, I think they're going to get burned on Sunday. I think the Bills are going to win straight up. And I got Green Bay winning on a Mason Crosby field goal kick in the waning moments. If you could still get the Buccaneers and the old Captain Hook, yar, is coming into play at +3.5. I love that. But I do like Green Bay on the money line because, again, I think they're going to win by that field goal.
Again, you can find it, FTN Fantasy. You can follow him on Twitter, Noisy Huevos, and also SiriusXM host. Brad, thank you very much for the time. We've always appreciated you coming on, man. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy it, my man. It's going to be a glorious Sunday in the NFL, baby.
You know it is. Brad Evans again. Thanks a lot, buddy. All right. So, I dig the analysis in terms of everything because I am, as we have talked about, relatively poor when it comes to the handicapping process for props. It's not my strongest thing, and I don't really get involved. So Brad's presence on the show has been absolutely incredible. And if you weren't with us at the beginning of the show, by the way, the news of the day is that one Antonio Brown will not be available here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're not going to see an adjustment in the line whatsoever, but it is worth noting for all of you who are firing away at a lot of these props. And what it means, as Brad said, that is now more targets to go around for a couple of other guys that are going to be, of course, on the field for Tom Brady in the place of one Antonio Brown. So keep that in mind. Antonio Brown not available for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this coming weekend when they take on the Green Bay Packers as 3.5-point underdogs on the road at Lambeau. All right, plenty left to get to in the program. We have a lot of NBA. It's a really deep slate today, so we'll discuss that coming up in, 15, 20 minutes. Chris Andrews is going to be with us, get the final bookmaker's perspective on anything for championship weekend. Remember, second hour, Mitch Moss and one Drew Martin will be with us to give us their perspective of Mitch on the NFL and the NBA, and then, of course, Drew, great handicapper in college hoops and the NFL. We'll be back. It's the Edge here on VSiN. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed delivers quality candidates their resume database instantly. You can check it out up at indeed.com/credit. That's indeed.com/credit. So the Super Bowl is essentially upon us as it is conference championship weekend. The Final Four, of course. And here at the South Point, Chris Andrews, who was with us earlier in the week, alluded to it. They have lines up for each and every single one of these Super Bowl matchups that we could potentially see here. And kind of as we expected, right? At least when it came to the side. And the total's not surprising that the highest total on the board is going to be between the Chiefs and the Packers. The two teams that are generally considered to be the best offenses outside of maybe the Buffalo Bills. But you can't get a Chiefs and Bills Super Bowl, obviously. So when you look at it from this perspective, Chiefs, 1.5 versus the Packers with a total of 56. Again, these are Super Bowl look-ahead lines here at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Bills versus Packers. Packers favored over the Bills is a 2-point favorite, total of 54. Chiefs would be favored over the Bucks in their matchup with a total of 55. And kind of this is the one we've really focused on earlier in the week because I'm just really curious how the market perceives these two teams, right? The market's really high on the Buffalo Bills at this point right now. They're very high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they have been all year long. And I wouldn't say no to any of these matchups, by the way. But that's a pick with a total of 53.5. Now, my guess is that if you like the Bills in that matchup, to hold out. Because I would guess that the market would push that to Bucks. Would you say Bucks minus 1.5 would probably be fair in that matchup, like by the time we get there, if it's set?
Most likely. I mean, because you would have to expect that means Tom Brady outdueled Aaron Rodgers. You're getting the Tom Brady is still the GOAT. You're getting all that conversation publicly.
The narrative
will clearly be on Tom Brady. Yeah.
I was actually talking with a buddy today, and look, I have the Bucks +4, but he even told me he's like, yeah, I'm taking Tom. he's a winner. And it's like, all right. I mean, that's some analysis, but that's what you're going to get in terms of, you know, the market pushing that around. So I would think that the Bucks, I think pick is accurate. I don't think there's much separating these two teams. I do think the Bucks are slightly better. I think they're the better defensive team. I think that's relatively fair from that standpoint. Your Buccaneers, Aaron. So even though the look ahead line is pick, I would say that that's going to shift to the Buccaneers minus 1, 1.5. As far as the others are concerned, you know, I'd be fascinated to see what the market does with a Chiefs Buccaneers matchup, right? And how they're going to push that around and move that around. Look ahead line right now, Chiefs minus 2.5 with a total of 55. But you get the dynamic of Tom versus Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, how the Chiefs get by the Bills in that case is a very big thing. If Patrick Mahomes looks gimpy and they barely get by on a last-second field goal, I would assume there'd be some sort of adjustment, especially if on the other side the Bucs blow out the Green Bay Packers. Which, by the way, I will say this time and time again, a result does not change a power rating, but the market will do that, right? So we've seen it multiple times throughout this football season. We were talking about our look-ahead lines versus the actual opening lines. That is another big part of this, and this is why these were actually really important, I think. Not so much of betting on them right now at this point, but it gives you the better an idea of how the odds makers, specifically like as we're talking about here, the South Point, how the odds makers perceive these teams right now. And if, like we're talking about, a result happens in which the Chiefs have to kind of come back and win by a field goal and they end up winning by like 1 point or something like that, and then they face the Green Bay Packers who blow out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'd assume you're going to see a shift in that number. But again, nothing changed, right? Nothing changed. The only thing that changed was the result and the way that it played out. But these teams should be power rated still the same. So just keep that in mind when you look at these Super Bowl look-ahead lines. It's really important. And we've done this exercise throughout the entire year. And we get to do this one last time where we get to look at the look-ahead lines. And then we get to see on Sunday, and we'll be here for the opening line. So we'll bring these back and we'll talk about some of the adjustments. But what the market does with these based on results is going to be absolutely incredible. And, you know, look, others, Bills versus Packers, for example, Packers minus 2. You know, I'm very interested to see what that is going to be like as well when it comes to the market, because Green Bay, I think, is quietly becoming a relatively publicly backed team. And look, I mean, all of these teams in some form or fashion are publicly backed, right? They're the top four teams in the National Football League, and they all have a lot of narrative star quarterbacks and really just all the qualifications that a lot of these teams have. But out of all of this, for sure, the one thing that sticks out is, again, like some line value, I guess, if you handicap that the Bills and the Bucks are going to win this weekend, and you do think that the Bucks are going to, and you think that's going to be the matchup, I should put it that way, I would bet on the Bucks because I think they will be going off as the favorite of that matchup against the Buffalo Bills. I think that's the takeaway. But again, study these, look at these, and keep this in mind as we move ahead to next week and as we see what the opening number is going to be like with the Super Bowl, because results will change things. They shouldn't, but they will. And for you as a bettor, with this in your arsenal now, you can use that to take advantage and then move forward with your handicap of the next week. Super Bowl weekend, man. It's already upon us. Only, what, 2.5 weeks away? 3 weeks? Whatever. Can't wait. All right. Oh, wait, I can't watch. I'm the senior NBA analyst, so I won't be watching the Super Bowl. That's a bummer. It's the first time in a long time. All right, when we come back, speaking of, hey, it's the NBA. We got to discuss a couple of games. Charlotte Hornets in action today. They get a big piece back, but is it really a big piece? And then the Orlando Magic, the market's infatuation with the Orlando Magic, I'll discuss and elaborate when we return. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 a month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. Everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Really quickly, so today is the last episode of The Edge as I move into the senior NBA analyst role starting next week. You know, I got to tell you, I walked into the studio today, and Aaron Oster, our producer, pops on the headset, and I heard the most joyous, "How's everybody doing today?" Like, there's just an extra pep in Aaron's step today. I wonder why. You seem like you're in a really good mood today.
I mean,
I like it. I'm totally down with that. All right, let's talk about this. NBA, really deep slate today, and I wanted to talk about some really key games. But first, I wanted to go back to last night because I kind of want to drive this point home. And Gil asked me about this earlier today on a numbers game, but I think this is a relatively important important point to make here. So the Bucks close as a 1.5-point favorite over the Los Angeles Lakers last night, right? And the Lakers end up winning, 113-106. The point I want to make is we have watched them now, the Milwaukee Bucks, take a little bit of a dive here against the spread. We watched them, of course, fail to cover as a favorite against the Brooklyn Nets the other night. We have seen them now. I'm going to double check this, but I believe this is now the fourth consecutive game in which the Milwaukee Bucks have failed to cover, and it is. And they're 2-2 straight up in that regard. But I've been pretty strong on this throughout the season, and I think this is the case here as we look at now a team that is 9-6 straight up, 6-9 against the spread. The market is still power rating Milwaukee like the team from the last few years. And I brought that up in my analysis yesterday. I thought this was a game that should be Lakers minus 1.5 or 2, leaning stronger to the 2. And again, remember, these are on neutral courts. So this is not a full home court type of deal, which leads more to, by the way, road dogs doing really well this year, because I think the market is still having some trouble with gauging how much home court is worth. These are essentially empty gyms that these people are playing in. And there's really no, like last night, for example, if you watched that game last night, I even tweeted it out. It was like, and I'm sure, I don't know if you caught really any of it, Aaron, yesterday, because it was a good college basketball slate, and I know you love college hoops. It was like a low energy, quiet, not really dynamic up and down, like bombastic type of game. It looked like it was 10 guys just playing a basketball game and just trying to get out of there. And ultimately, the Lakers are the one that ended up winning. And maybe that has something to do with it. But I think those settings, it's really important to realize that. And even small spreads like this, you know, sometimes you'll see the wrong team favored because maybe home court is taken into account here. These are essentially neutrals. So when I look at that, I thought it should be Lakers about 2, and sure enough, the Lakers get a 113-106 win. But really, it's more about the Bucks. And just moving forward, I would say gauge yourself with the Milwaukee Bucks, especially in big matchups like this with Brooklyn, with Los Angeles. You know, as you see their schedule moving forward, it lays out pretty nicely for them, right? Atlanta, Toronto, New Orleans, Charlotte, Portland, Indiana, Cleveland. Not a lot of big matchups there. Maybe on February 3rd when they're back at home against the Indiana Pacers, it's something we can talk about. But just keep that in mind with Milwaukee, as I think this is a team that is worse from the last few seasons. And I think the market is having a tough time catching up with that thought process. So with that, let's talk a little bit today. We have some pretty good matchups on the board, including one that I just can't wait to see how the market handles this moving forward, what we're going to see with a team that has been relatively surprising. Both of these teams have been really surprising, but one has the best ATS record in the NBA, and that would be the Chicago Bulls, who are on the road taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets open up as a 3.5-point favorite with a total of 227.5 at some of the spots that are that were first to market, we'll say. But the Bulls have covered 71% of their games. You see it right there. Despite being 6-8 this year, they are 10-4 against the number. And it's not surprising at this point right now that you see the Charlotte Hornets, a number that opened 3.5 and as high as 4 in some spots, now down to 3 against Chicago. And what this means for Chicago, it's going to be like, you talk about you're coming off of 2 consecutive wins in covers, Houston and Dallas, a smaller underdog against Houston, a Houston team that has been struggling a little bit. But at what point the market kind of catches up with this? And we talk about this all the time when it comes to teams that are on really good rolls. This Hornets team, by the way, is a really good example of that. If you remember, I think it was last week, right? Last week, yes, it was. So last week, they take on the Charlotte Hornets, the New York Knicks. That was on the 11th. They ended up closing as a 5-point favorite, and they ended up winning and covering that game. It was their 4th consecutive win in cover. And by the way, the Hornets have still covered 6 out of 7 games. So this is what makes this matchup absolutely fascinating, because you have on one end a Bulls team that throughout the entire season has been absolutely dynamic, and on the other end you have a Hornets team that has been playing very well. They get a body back in Cody Zeller in the front court, and what this means overall for the power rating for both of these teams and where the market's going to go with this, I can't wait to watch. But I'll say this. I'll keep an eye on the Hornets number here, because the Hornets defensively have been playing very well. Gil has talked about this. So we had this discussion earlier today, too, on a numbers game, if you want to go back and listen to it. James Borrego, the fact that he's playing more zone defense, the fact that these small ball lineups with P.J. Washington have been working really well, and a guy like Wendell Carter is not going to play here today for the Chicago Bulls. So he's listed as doubtful, we're going to assume. But if this number starts to get, and we've seen numbers move pretty quickly, if it gets like 2.5, 2, I'd be very interested in the Charlotte Hornets tonight. The Bulls have done a very good job, but we'll see if maybe the market is starting to get a little overzealous with the way that this Bulls team, again, 71% of their games they have covered. They're 10-4 ATS despite a 6-8 record. And it's been a part of that offense. That offense has been absolutely dynamic, but the defense hasn't really been there, and maybe Charlotte can take advantage of that. Other one up, Orlando and Indiana. So this is a fascinating game as well. Look, they're all pretty awesome, I think. So the Pacers right now are a four-point favorite over the Magic. A total of 217.5. As of right now, one Miles Turner is listed as questionable. If you remember the Dallas Mavericks game that they just played in the Indiana Pacers, he was out there for pregame warmups that ultimately did not play. But I've mentioned it multiple times, despite the fact that this team has failed to cover and lost two straight, the Indiana Pacers, Miles Turner has missed both of those games. I think this is a team that we'll see. But Orlando is, as we've talked about, really in the midst of a tailspin at this point right now. The Orlando Magic, I think, are an opponent that more often than not you want to fade as opposed to follow. They have failed to cover 6 out of 7 games. Yes, they're coming off of the last second win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, but their offense has been atrocious. Under 100 points in 6 out of 7 games as well. They have been, from an offensive efficiency standpoint, one of the worst in the NBA. And now you get Nate Bjorkman and the Indiana Pacers, who are a top 10 defensive efficiency team, who, especially if Turner comes back, will be able to lock this team up. But I just think from a scheme standpoint, and just from the standpoint of the market not catching up with, I think, how bad this Magic team is, 4 seems like a relatively short number. The trepidation here is the status of one Miles Turner. Because here's the thing, I think, as just reading the market as we've seen over the last few weeks, if it's officially announced that Turner's not going to play, you'll be able to get a cheaper number. So keep an eye on the reports here. But the Pacers are going to be a side that I have circled, and I'm going to wait to see what the market is going to be with or do with this number. But I'll be in on the Indiana Pacers tonight as I'll continue the fade of the Orlando Magic and see if that is going to be the case and if I'm right or if I'm wrong. But regardless, this is an offense that has just been absolute bunk for the last, I'd say, a week and a half or so for the Orlando Magic as injuries have really caught up with them. All right, Chris Andrews will be with us. Let's talk about those look-ahead lines for the Super Bowl, what he's looking at action-wise for the conference championship games. And remember, in the next hour, too, we got Mitch Moss, we got Drew Martin, who are going to be with us to discuss everything around the NFL, NBA, and college hoops. It's The Edge here on VSiN. Don't go anywhere. Wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly. BetRivers new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it. The BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only a one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Rush Pay not valid in Iowa. Got to be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Let us welcome in Chris Andrews, who has been nice enough throughout the football season to be with us in these bi-weekly hits as we talk about the bookmaker's perspective on everything over the counter. Chris, it is good to talk to you as always, my friend. So let's start with Kansas City and Buffalo. We talked to you earlier in the week. We saw the market dip below that 3 to 2.5, but we have since evened out in some spots. You guys don't do it here. Some spots we're seeing some variants of the shaded juice at 3 minus 120, minus 115. So what's the action been like? Are we starting to push that 3.5 boundary for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, we're getting close. Not yet, but we're getting close. I can see where maybe we would get there. Now, I'm going to try to hold this number as long as I can. First of all, I like the Bills, and since we were 2.5 for a while, I'll really be exposing myself if we do that. But, you know, it might happen. I know, listen, it's, what's it, Friday morning at almost 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're going to get most of our action in the next 48 hours, JBT. So who knows where we're going to wind up with these numbers. We've got tons of action on these games, but I think it's just going to grow exponentially from here to game time.
So, Chris, you know, I talk about this all the time, right? And the market reacting to information that we kind of know. And I brought this topic to up to you before. The example, though, really quickly, earlier in the week, Kyrie Irving listed as not going to be able to play despite being upgraded to questionable. Market moves 2 points despite the fact that Kyrie Irving hadn't played in 2 weeks. I use that example because I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, when the market moves, like when it's officially announced that Patrick Mahomes is going to play, I'd expect to see some sort of adjustment. But in your mind, when that comes out, that's not you making that adjustment, right? That's you because the market is moving in that direction and people will start to react to that you're moving that, because you kind of expect Patrick Mahomes to play, not?
Well, I expected him to play from the beginning of the week. Otherwise, I think this game would have been pick'em or Bills a slight favorite. Even though we talked about how much success Andy Reid has had with backup quarterbacks, still, you know, it's just a tough spot to throw a guy in something like this. But nonetheless, you know, in the stock market, there's an old saying, you buy the rumor and sell the news. Mm-hmm. And it kind of applies to the sports industry too. I think the rumor that he was playing, you know, kind of pushed it up. But if it goes to 3.5, or, you know, who knows what, if it's announced Mahomes is definitely playing, which we're about 95% sure that he is, then you might see another flood of money on Kansas City. So who knows what we're going to do with this number. But I know for me, and probably most bookmakers, in this situation, you're not going to move on air. You're going to move on a bet, especially around these numbers. You know, so I definitely will not be moving until somebody actually comes in and bets me these things.
So we always talk about a quarterback's worth to a point spread. What's a quarterback's worth to a total? What's the adjustment on a total once he's officially announced a half point toward the over? Do you think you get to like 54, 54 and a half? And what's the action been like on the total here?
Yeah, you know, I'm not the greatest totals guy in the world, but it probably would mean that. But we're pretty high on the under right now. Now, again, we're going to do most of our business in the next 48 hours. Most of that money will probably come in on the over, at least from the guy in the street. Wise guys will be looking to play under some sort of number. I think they'll probably get to 54. Maybe, I'm trying to look, what did we open this? We opened at 55. Might get the 55 if we find out for sure Mahomes is playing, which we certainly expect.
All right, let's move on to the next matchup, NFC Championship game. So here at the South Point, you are one of the lone fours that are up on the board now with the Green Bay Packers. There are a lot of 3.5s out there, but you guys are at 4. So what's the action been like? I assume a little bit of action here on Green Bay.
Well, this is what I opened it, and they came in on the Bucs pretty strong, you know, from guys I definitely respect. They took the 4, took the 3.5, and went to 3. They laid me back to 3, so I went to 3.5. But I could see it kind of coming, that the money was showing on the Packers, minus the 3, you know, on the money line, all that sort of stuff. You know, JVT, I'm one of those guys, if I think a number's going to get there, I want to get there first. Mm-hmm. That way it looks a lot better for the guys you want to come in and take the other side. So if I go to 4 after the whole world is at 4, then what the hell do they need me for? They really don't. You know, but right now I'm the only 4, and we're starting to get some play at the plus 4. I definitely can use it, because right now, you know, when they did come in on the Bucks, I probably let them come back with more Green Bay money than I should have before I moved the number. But like I said, now with 3.5 and everything and the money line and all that sort of thing, I could see the money showing pretty heavily with the Packers. So I think if I didn't get the 4 today, I was probably going to get there in the next day or two. So what the hell, I might as well get there now.
So I'm curious, you know, how much, as you mentioned, you know, the next 24 to 48 hours, you'll get a big brunt to your action. A lot of that'll be, as you call it, man on the street or public action, whatever, you know, term you want to use. How much does that action and money influence you in high leverage games like this and conference championship games? Do you respect the sharp money a little bit more, or when it comes in a big enough flood from public money, you will be more willing to move in that direction?
Well, no, I definitely respect the wise guy money, and that's why I think I probably over-respected it a little bit on this Bucks game. And that's why once I went to 3 and then back again to 3.5, you know, it's just been all Packers. Now, the wise guys are definitely on the Bucks in this game, and they might have the winner, they might not, I don't know. But I definitely let them influence me on the number. You know, try not to let the public influence me too much, but at some point you have to let it influence you some. in a game like this. I mean, because we're talking about some pretty big numbers in a game like this. And like I said, it's big now. And I think, you know, if I talk to you Sunday morning, it'll be a lot bigger than what I'm looking at right now on my screen.
What about the total in this one, too? I mean, like you mentioned, not the best totals guy, but just seeing the action, we expect sharp money on unders usually. Does this get a little bit higher? And I know, Chris, people would overreact. Oh, my God, snow. But you know, it's the wind that's the big factor here. So what do you expect?
Yeah. Well, you know, Brady's played plenty of games in some inclement weather, and Rodgers certainly has too. So I don't think it'll affect the total too much. But, you know, they are playing the over. I mean, sharp money and the man in the street. Now, we opened 52. You know, so they did kind of play under a little bit. We went down as low as 51, but we're back up to 52. Pretty even. Although this is another one, I think we're going to get higher and higher on this. And I'm looking at the computer screen. We're one of the few 52s. It's mostly 51.5, and I think the overplay will continue on this. You know, unless we get some really inclement weather and lots of wind. You know, and cold probably going to affect the players a little bit. Certainly, we got some Tampa, even if it's not Tom Brady himself.
I learned a couple of weeks ago there's another term for sleet. I think it's called grapple. It's a G word.
Oh, geez, I never heard of it.
I had never heard that either.
Where'd you find? Did you get the Oxford Dictionary something, JVT? I never heard that word.
I had never heard it either. A buddy of mine, actually, you might know, Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review Journal, had told me this. So I don't know. He is an educated man, so I assume he's correct, but he's also been wrong about a lot of stuff, including Josh Allen. So, you know, we don't really know. Right?
Okay.
Hey, Chris, so before we get you out of here, the last couple minutes, first off, I'm sure people will be curious. You guys hung up the lines, did the look ahead lines for the four potential Super Bowl matchups. House rules on those if I bet on a game that does not take place. What are the rules at the South Point?
You'll get your money back as soon as the real matchup is set. So yeah, we don't want to hold anybody's money. We want to circulate it back in action.
Of course.
Trying to stimulate the economy.
Well, I'm curious. So what is the action like on look ahead lines like this? Have you seen something? And will you adjust numbers on these look aheads? Like, will you get enough to move a number like Bills and Bucks, for example, or are these just up there and the action is a little minimal?
Well, the action is definitely minimal, and you know, everybody always wants to put this up, put that up, and then you put it up, and nobody bets it. You know? I've had it in the past where guys do bet it, but you know, usually if I do see a guy bet it strongly, I will definitely take that into consideration, because guys who do that for big numbers are probably pretty sharp guys. But I've got nothing so far. I think the biggest bet I have is like $800, something like that. So, you know, nothing too crazy, nothing to move me off any of these numbers. But these are what I kind of anticipated going into this weekend. But, of course, what happens this weekend will probably influence the number some, Ed, but we'll see how much.
So here's my theory on these as I looked at your numbers. The one that stuck out that we were discussing, Bills and Bucks. It's a pick that you have up, total of 53.5. I believe if that's the matchup, Chris, that the Bucks would go off as like a potentially 1.5-point favorite because Tom Brady back in the Super Bowl, the narrative, like it'll just all be there. You might get enough support to push you in that direction. Do you think I'm crazy in thinking that if that's the matchup?
I don't think you're crazy at all, but if that is the matchup, I'm sure I'll like the Bills.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I like it. Chris Andrews, you can follow him on Twitter at Andrews Sports. Chris, I appreciate you joining us two times a week. I know you listen every single day and every single second, but if you didn't just catch it, it's the last episode of The Edge today as I move on to do the NBA stuff. So I always appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, JVT. It's certainly been my pleasure. Not only do I listen every day, I try to memorize it. I take notes, and I get my wife to quiz me at night. So,
you're the man, Chris. Thank you.
See you later.
See you. Bye-bye. You got it. All right, so there you go. So Super Bowl look-ahead lines, and to Chris's point as well, of course. You bet those. It doesn't take place. Well, it's not actually. You get your money back. Circulate it back into the economy, as he said. So remember this. When the Bills and the Bucks meet up and the Bills go off as like a 3-point favorite, remember all of this. Remember as I called my shot and that the Buccaneers were going to be a 1.5-point favorite. What are they going to do? Take me out of the air? Oh, yeah. All right. Second hour, we got a lot more in terms of the NBA. We got three more games that I really wanted to touch on in terms of the matchups tonight, some injury reports to discuss, some clarity there. We also will, of course, get some college hoops action with Drew Martin, who joins us at the bottom of the hour. And we're also going to talk, look, yesterday brought up the Milwaukee and the Los Angeles matchup, right? The Lakers getting the win on the road. road there against the Milwaukee Bucks. But there was also another side set, side story, I guess I should call it, when it came to that matchup. LeBron James was absolutely fantastic in a primetime spot, and it does seem like his numbers are moving to win the MVP. Mitch Moss has more of that when he joins us on the other side here on The Edge.